Well, I am at the moment in conversation with our social worker about that very issue. And you're correct, even something like transportation does cause a problem for us. We do have an agreement with the Transport Board that our independent travellers, obviously they come to school on their own, but I have to remind people that an independent traveler isn't one that can just get from point A to point B, but it's one that can get there safely. So I think we first and foremost have to have a sit down, if possible, well, face to not face to face, Zoom meeting with the Transport Board, just to make sure that we can secure at least another bus or a bigger bus, so that we can have our students adhere to the protocol, because quite a few of our students do travel independently, and it does concern me. Do we have enough transportation in the mornings for our students, as well as the students in the mainstream? I know whatever protocols are that the government students are going to have to adhere to, so do we. So we need to make sure
Sure.
that our independent travelers
But that
are
discussion
in a
hasn't,
way.
you didn't have that discussion as you're in discussion or you're about to.
We're in discussion. We haven't had, we were waiting, or we're hoping to get a lot of notice to be able to get the school ready. But bear in mind, we were told quite recently that we're definitely opening
On the 20th.
face to face on the 20th. So now is the time that all of those discussions have to take place.
Place.
I need to make sure that school meals and, so all of those
Yeah,
pieces are
we're
now in
gonna get to
discussion.
that too as well. Let's just take this caller down to Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks Sunday, rather, when you're not accustomed working on Sundays. Brass Tacks Sunday, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning to everybody. Very interesting program, but I think in the last few minutes we've just about skirted around the core issue here. The moderator began to drive towards the real issue, which is that, as far as special needs children are concerned, the class sizes in the public schools are basically far, far too high. How anybody can think of a class of 32 special needs children being able to be taught effectively in a public school is ridiculous. It's a sham. It doesn't work. It's not fit for purpose. And I'm so sorry that the person representing the education ministry is not here right now, but perhaps this can be brought up later on. Cheryl, one of the reasons that the Smith School was formed in the first place was the sheer deficit of proper education for special needs children in the first place. Perhaps you can both comment on that.
Dr. Ock, well, let's talk about the class size. I think earlier you were talking about shift system. This is Jillian. You were talking about the classes being too
Yes, please.
Overcrowded. So if that's the case pre-COVID, what's happening now again? Let's go back through this again. During COVID, face-to-face, you're going back to school. What's the approach again?
Well, I believe with us at Eagle Hall Special Unit, our approach will be the system where we have students coming in on shifts, basically, so that we can cut those numbers in half.
What's the maximum then in a classroom? We're doing that.
For us, we have 11 maximum in a classroom. We have three classes. And we have one class with 11, one class with 10, another class with 10. And the rooms are not large rooms. So in order to adhere to safety protocols, we have to make sure that there's the correct number of persons in that space, just for safety.
Caller, you want to respond? Caller?
Hello, hi.
Yes.
Yeah, I can understand what the teacher is talking about. But I think, as you've just touched upon as well, the advance of COVID, the whole emergency of health that we've been going through over the past year, has only, for me, highlighted the plight of the special needs children. So what we're trying to do now is trying to reverse engineer a very bad situation in the first place. And I'm afraid, to me, it's like putting an elastoplast on a fairly serious wound. I know that everybody is trying their best, but my worry is that we get to the end of this emergency, and we find ourselves exactly with the same old practices that we've all suffered through for the past, I don't know, 40 years.
Well, interesting. But so what are you... You said you proposed... We talked about Dr. Rock School, which is a little bit different because it's private, and which is sad because government schools, you know, people are always saying that the private schools are better. Is there anything, Dr. Rock, that you could recommend for government schools that you do similar, that you do at the Derek Smith to sort of, in this environment, anything you would like to share to encourage the government to do in these units?
That's a little bit challenging for me, I must confess, because, and I know Gillian, and I see Mrs. Holder is listening as well. I know a lot of teachers and educators at the units, but I haven't visited in a long time, so I'm not going to say this is what I think they could be doing or should be doing. That's a conversation.
Okay. I wouldn't put you on that spot then.
Right. Thank you. However, what I will say, I'll tell you what we do at the school, and I think the backbone, the mainstay of the Derek Smith School, it's not the size, it's not the funding we may or may not have, it's none of those things. I will tell you now, and I will tell you it doesn't matter anything else, it is the fact that we have a model that works. We use the DIR model. It supports social and emotional development. It looks at every child being individual and different, and it puts the relationship at the helm of everything that we do. And so basically that means that even prior COVID times, we've always been working on a child's social emotional development. And the beauty about the model is it's not an educational model, it's a holistic model. So when you go into the school, you know that that's where you're supposed to be. We make sure that you feel valued and welcomed, and that everyone has you. We look after you like a family, because we understand that in order for growth to occur, you need to be emotionally in the right place. And we also understand that everyone's individual and different. And because we look at everyone as being individual and different, we don't teach to the upper student, we support each student exactly where they need it. We look at the different processes. So we're looking at your visual spatial, your memory, your emotionality, all the things that you need to have in place even before you start academics. So if there's a difference with students at the Derek Smith School, maybe versus anywhere else, I strongly believe it's because of that framework that underpins everything that we do, every interaction with every child, every interaction with every parent, and every interaction with teacher. This is what we profess. As I said, I can only talk what the school is doing.
Understood.
And if there's anything that I've said that any teacher thought, well, I want to know about that, you know, I'm always, always, always available. You know, it's the one thing that I believe in, well, one of many things that I believe in passionately, and I'm always more willing to share with anyone.
Okay, let's take this other caller down to Brass Tacks. It's 8 minutes after midday. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Yeah,
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm listening to your program very keenly.
Thank you.
Yes, but one of my concerns, we have focused so much on the COVID and the connection with the children with special needs that COVID seems to dominate everything, forgetting that there's a whole world outside of COVID and a lot of things are neglected because we're so focused on COVID. But that isn't my main topic, but I just needed to put in that. My concern is if we ever do get back to even a shift system, my concern is the children that travel, especially on the call array service at the transport board. And yes, it is a good service, but it is limping. And many times the buses break down. And sometimes a child may only have 2 days a week, and sometimes getting 1 day because they could only get school on 1 day. And I think the children are already disadvantaged with the disability in terms of access to learning. Whether they have sensory or mental challenges, they already have disadvantages. And then they are given 2 days to come out, sometimes three, and sometimes could only get out the 1 day because the service is in much need of buses that work. Not today, you come out on Monday, tomorrow there's no bus, Wednesday there's one. So by the time it comes around, some children sometimes get 1 day a week. That happened in the before the shutdown. And it will hate to see us go back into another shift system where the children are disadvantaged again.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Rock said, you know, transportation is being discussed, at least from her school. And I would imagine then that it would cover all of the other concerns from the government schools when we return to school in this environment. And yes, you're right, there's life, there was life before COVID, there's going to be life after COVID, but right now we're in it. And this is why we're discussing the challenges in this environment for back to school as it relates to our children. I would like to put some questions here myself as a parent, and about the fact that, I'm not ashamed to say, there are times where you're overwhelmed and you may need someone to talk to. And we talked about social workers and so on, but in terms of the support for parents, the ones that have a few strands of hair left, like Dennis Johnson, you're just pulling the hair out, because it's difficult to cope. And I'm telling you, it can actually impact the entire family, especially if you are the sole parent and you have more than one child and one happens to be special needs and you got to get everybody to school. Is there, you know, we need to know here for the ministry, that's for a fact, that what do we have out there as parents during this time to talk about our challenges as it relates to the online teaching, as it relates to how to get it done, how to manage it. You know, we talk about online etiquette and there are videos out there and I think they're fantastic, but it doesn't adequately address our mental health. Anybody wants to at least give their little 2 cents worth, I'm not saying about to speak on it, but to see, to tell me what you have, you seen parents that they've been really reaching out and saying, look, I can't cope. Have you been hearing that? Have you been having that conversation with the parents, either Dr. Rock or Jillian?
Most definitely, Joanne. Parents are having a difficult time. Having someone to talk to, I think, is one of the most important vehicles that are out there. Also, reminding yourself that it is okay to have a day off. It is okay to feel like you're not coping because, as I said before, we didn't expect this. This is unprecedented. We are living and experiencing times that came out of nowhere. That's how it feels. And to adapt in such a major way, in and of itself, is difficult. To then have to do that and keep strong for not just yourself, but for your child who has special needs as well, is an additional challenge. And every now and then saying it is okay to be not okay,
yeah,
sometimes works. Yeah. You know, we do feel, especially when you're home and you're working from home, there's an additional pressure, because when you sit down, you suddenly think, oh dear, I'm not doing what I should, you know. And lots of parents have told me that the amount of online meetings increase, and you know, the screen time even for yourself increases, and all of that puts additional pressure on you. I do believe that we are fortunate in education, where it's when you miss many, many, many days that the challenge occurs, but you can miss a day and still be okay. And that is one thing, it may sound strange coming from a principal, but I will always tell my parents, if you get up in the morning and you think today is not the day I want to have that fight with my child to get them into class, and I can't cope, I can't face it, take a day. Mm-hmm. It's use it as a mental health day and be fine with that. You know, don't make any apologies for it.
I agree with you. I have a very good friend, I'll just say his first name, Damani, and he said to me, I'm allowing you one bad day a month. One, just one. So when I'm working and I start off, he goes like, okay, I'm allowing you one bad day. So if you take it today, you know you can't have tomorrow. So I'm saying it, I normally say, okay, I'm allowed one bad day a month, but today isn't it. And I keep doing that. So I try to truck on as much as I can. I do have someone, a friend of mine that comes to help me with lunch and with my daughter's Skype, because apart from having online and COVID, and you have a daughter now with 40 food allergies, you just, you know, you got to be able to prepare the right foods and do your work. It's so challenging. And I certainly can identify with a lot of parents having to wonder if I'm doing it right, if I'm doing it wrong. I have not gotten my daughter online on many occasions, only recently. But again, she is in vocational. And she's 21, so what I didn't get online, I tried to make up for in cooking when we were preparing the meals, in laundry when we're doing clothes and sorting, more like life skills, so that I still don't miss out on the online aspect of it. But it's very difficult to do vocational online. But I want to take this caller down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Go ahead.
So it was a minute.
Yes, go ahead.
Education.
Yes, go ahead.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Right. When the current Prime Minister was Minister of Education, she was painfully aware of segments of the school population that were underachieving. And she actually commissioned a study that she brought to Parliament and circulated on factors that pointed to why certain students were not doing well at all. I do not know if you remember that paper.
No.
Each one matters?
Don't know if the panel remembers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me raise a couple of points quickly. There is a theory that when some children are supposedly slow academically, that it follows logically that they be good with their hands. That is a misnomer. A fellow who is very slow in language arts, mathematics, history, and geography will not necessarily be good at vocational work, because that particular student may have underlying problems that point to his or her inability to assimilate knowledge and skills and aptitudes. I just want to raise that. I also want to say this. Many years ago, there was a thing called labeling, and some children were called special, not meaning that they were special from an affirmatively positive point of view, but they were put in a class called special, meaning that they were dancers. In those days, there were not very many teachers trained to deal with students who were facing challenges. I vividly remember a teacher who had army experience, who trained in England to teach educationally exceptional children. And his desire was to go into the so-called neurosecondary schools and pick on slow learners and teach them, and he did very well. Now, for a long time here in Barbados, there has been literature on this, you know, on this very interesting topic that you are discussing. There's literature called Educating Exceptional Children. And it looks both at exceptional children who are exceptionally bright and at those children who are not so bright. But that book, which is now a little bit dated, was never in widespread publication, Educating Exceptional Children. The challenge facing teachers today in this so-called new norm is to come to terms with all the permutations that touch and concern teaching and learning. The very Prime Minister, Ms. Motley, now, when she was Education Minister, saw the usefulness of technology in learning. In this new norm, technology is mattering, but you still get disadvantaged students because a lot of students cannot access the technology. A lot of students who might be able to access the technology do not have anybody to guide them how to use the technology. And some students might use the technology for purposes other than education. The challenge facing today's special needs teacher is to get to the bottom of those things that touch and concern education. There is a big socio-economic problem in Barbados that affects learning. The very poor and the very dispossessed are likely to be non-achievers. Although there are exceptions, they're poor, dispossessed students who do very well because they have motivational factors that help them to learn. But we have to learn this. We have to learn that the likelihood of two students, even twins, being identical is low. And what can make one student learn well may not make another student learn well. You're talking about technical and vocational studies as well.
Okay, we do have Juanita Brathwaite-Wharton from the ministry. But before we get to Juanita, I'm going to put this question there. Someone has a really good question. How do you manage the face-to-face when you have children who like to hug a lot with special needs? And I know that for a fact because my daughter likes to hug a lot. So how are you managing that face-to-face last term? How did you manage it with children who have a tendency to be more affectionate than others?
Okay. We have to teach them, basically, you know. I got some information from a fellow teacher who showed me different ways to show affection, like the fist bump and the elbow bump and the high five and you know, different ways. We can still, because most students with special needs are very loving. Yes, they will want a hug, but you know, we have to basically teach them why we can't. And the fact that we don't hug doesn't mean we don't feel the same way. It just means we need to be safe. Mm-hmm. Now, that is going to be a bit easier for those students who don't have challenges with communicating, because we have some little ones that, you know, the other teachers and myself at school, we are the at-school moms. So when they're crying, you know, they want to climb in your lap and stick the finger in the mouth and rest the heads on your shoulders and be comforted. So that is going to be a challenge for us. We're going to have to find other ways to comfort them that we still, you know, have their feelings into consideration.
Okay. So, but let's get Juanita Brathwaite in quickly if we can before at least the news starts, so we can start there and then continue. I understand you were on since midday. I do apologize if you were there. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm well, and how are you?
I'm well. Juanita, you want to identify you are a psychologist, a senior
Certainly.
Psychologist with the Ministry of Education. What has it been like for parents and teachers in this environment and with the face-to-face teaching and the online teaching?
Good morning, Brass Stacks. Juanita Brackett Warren, senior psychologist, student support services. This period has been very challenging, as you would imagine, for all of our stakeholders, for the parents, for teachers, and of course, for our children. I want to first start by lauding the special needs teachers in the public schools, who this time last year, I believe it is, when we were first planning for embarking on the online education platform, who would literally have come out of the blocks running. I remember we had a meeting as we discussed how we were going to approach this dispensation. And I was really pleased with the fact that the teachers amongst themselves in the units had brainstormed and thought of all the different ways in which they could support their students and the parents and the families that they serve. I remember Ms. Cadogan, who's with us this morning, would have spoken of the fact that her teachers had looking at all the different parameters and all the possibilities and the challenges that could possibly come out of a period such as this one that we would have obviously had no experience dealing with, they had gone as far as preparing packages for their students. And we were embarking on a period of lockdown, and they were trying to figure out how are we going to move during our alphabet day so that we can visit our parents' homes and pass out these packages and so on. So I first want to laud the teachers because they really have been working hard. They really would have pulled out all stops in order to do as best as they can to support the persons that we serve. As I said before, the period has been challenging. The anxiety levels have been there. You know, the emotions have risen. There are a number of students in this population. And when I speak of the vulnerable population. That's the population that I am most passionate about. And it encompasses those students, yes, with developmental issues, with cognitive issues. We have a large population of students with learning disabilities. But we also have a lot of children. The caller before spoke about the socioeconomic impact on the pandemic and how it has affected families in with lower socioeconomic statuses. And I must tell you that that has been a serious concern for me as we have navigated these waters. The fact that students who come from families that have less means have been significantly hard pressed by the pandemic. They've been given the necessary tools in terms of the devices, where there was challenges with internet connectivity. The ministry would have provided tablets with SIM cards. They would have spoken to service providers for persons who may have had large bills that were outstanding and would have gotten agreement to have electricity turned on. We even went so far as to work with a philanthropic, I don't know if I can call the name of the company, but a company that said, listen, we will wire houses that don't have electricity. So, I mean, we have really tried as hard as we possibly could to reach all those persons in the vulnerable population. But I will say that there have been significant challenges in benefiting from the online platform as much as we would have wanted them to. Things even in the physical, because what has happened in this pandemic is that there has been an exacerbation of the challenges that students face, even in the physical, have become even bigger in the online forum, because whereas that in the physical, students leave home and they don't leave the problems behind because they come with them on their shoulders. But at least in the physical environment, you know, you get some time away where you can breathe a different air. Mm-hmm. You have the opportunity, teacher, your peers, a janitor, because, you know, it says it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people, sometimes it's this not lady who sits with the tray, who, you know, children can bounce off on and so on. But without that, in this environment where we are confined or have been confined for a large period to our homes, mm-hmm. it has been really, really difficult.
We do have to take a break for the ladies, but when we come back, I want to address the fact that there are people out there saying, don't give them children no laptops and no devices. Then we know what to do. And similarly, they're actually looking at the parents of persons with disabilities and assume that we don't know how to use a computer either. So we'll come back and talk about that.